man, it's going great. I'm above third, so that's a good day. that's what I always say.
All right. Well, what's going on with you this week?
Not much, you know. Just trying to live life to the fullest, you know. Especially after seeing all this Las Vegas stuff going on, you know, I had a bunch of friends out there that were actually performing on stage, you know, while this was going on, and you know, you get everybody, you know, especially me being a redneck in the South or whatever, you think I would be for all these guns and stuff like that, but I'm not. Like, I believe in the Second Amendment, but I believe our forefathers didn't really know much about machine guns when they were writing that amendment. So I think it kind of needs to be rewritten, because I don't think, you know, a civilian needs to have automatic machine guns to protect themselves.
All right. Well, are you a country music fan?
You know, it's funny that you say that. Like, I listen to all kind of music. But, you know, definitely growing up in the South, you know, a big country music fan. But I like a lot of the, you know, the older country, you know, Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson and kind of the gritty, you know, darker country. I think today's country's kind of gotten a little too pop. You know, I think we blame not Shania Twain, but Taylor Swift for that.
And you said you knew some of the performers at the at that event?
Yeah, you know, my friends Big and Rich was there, and Cowboy Troy, DJ Silver, and also Jason Aldean, who actually lives in the same town I live in. Also, you know, they're all out there. And I actually had a couple buddies that were four doors down from where the shooter was at.
Well, all righty. Well, let's skip from the sadness of
kick this up a little bit.
I'm not sure how to transition out of that, but I'll just ask you, Cowboy. We got November 5th right around the corner. Aberdeen Pavilion in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Bound for Glory. You know all about that event. Your thoughts?
You know, I say this every year, and I do mean it. This is one of the events that I do look forward to, just because it's one of those events where you can just see a little extra pep and guy's step when they're out there, and, you know, when they're running around the back getting ready to go out and perform. You know, they want to go out there, and, you know, no matter what nobody says, like the guys that we have on the roster, they go out there and they give it 110% to, you know, put on the best show that they can for the people, you know, watching it. And as me, as a spectator, like, I still watch the show, especially if I'm on early. Like, I'll get to the back and I'll watch it, because I'm still a fan of professional wrestling. And, you know, a lot of guys will come up to me after their match and ask, you know, what can they work on, or what did I see, or what can, you know, they improve on. And I give them my thoughts, and, you know, and that's a cool thing that the younger guys kind of come up to me and ask my opinion on it. But, you know, it's just one of those things where everybody steps up, and, you know, this November 5th is going to be no different, especially in Canada, where, you know, the fans, we haven't been up there in a while, and it's going to be pretty crazy. And plus, a lot of Canadians drink a lot of beer.
It's ice cold beer up there, huh?
That's it. You know, people always ask me, hey, what's your favorite beer? And I always say the same answer everywhere I go, cold one.
All righty. Well, Cowboy, we're going to open up for some questions here for the media. As always, I ask that you identify yourself and your media outlet, and if we could limit it to one question so we can roll through a bunch of questions for the Cowboy.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
Hi, James. It's Adam from the Impact Lounge here in the UK. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Really good. And just like to say, obviously, a huge fan of yours. Over your career with Impact and formerly TNA, as it was, you've obviously been in many different roles, as in sometimes a heel heading up a stable, usually the baby face with the crowd behind you. From a creative point of view, what do you prefer, and what gets your juices going?
You know, especially if I was in creative, I would definitely have me as a babyface, because, you know, I'm one of the guys who can go out and I always say, to make a good babyface, you got to be able to talk on the mic. you know, a heel can kind of get away with not really being able to talk that great on the mic. But, you know, to make a really great babyface, you just got to be able to talk. And, you know, if I was doing creative, I would definitely have me as a babyface just because I know how to go out there and interact with the crowd. And I can, you know, just go off script and just play along and do whatever it takes to kind of get the crowd into it. You know, me, I love being the babyface, but I always tell everybody it's so much easier to kind of be the heel, especially nowadays, because it's always easier, it's a lot easier to make people hate you than it is to like you, especially these days with social media and all that stuff. So, but, you know, to answer the question real short, you know, I really do prefer being the babyface.
Thanks.
Ryan Ryder here from Main Event Radio. James, aside from the great Canadian beer, what are you looking forward to at Bound for Glory in Canada?
I'm looking forward to the crowd. You know, we've been in an impact zone for a long time, and just to see new faces out in the crowd, and just and always say that's when you know, and find out who's over and who's not, because there's a lot of times the impact zone where, you know, you get the same group of fans and everything, and they want to cheer this guy or that guy or whatever. But you know, when we start going on the road, that's when creative can kind of say, oh, well, this guy's, you know, over, and this guy's not as much over as we thought he was. But just, you know, going out and performing from a different crowd, and just, and I'm, you know, I perform in Canada a lot, and I know how rowdy they can get. And that just helps out, you know, with the performance in the ring. The louder the crowd is, to me, the more adrenaline is pumping for the guys in the ring.
Hi, James. David Dunn with the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer here. I was just wondering if you could touch on the differences between wrestling in singles competition and wrestling as a tag team, and whether it's a particularly easy transition to make, or if there's a bit of a time there when you're going between being part of a successful tag team and then having a singles run.
You know, I always tell people the big difference between wrestling single and wrestling a tag team is the number of bumps that you take in the match. Like, you kind of cut them in half, so you're, you know, got longevity now in your career. What a lot of people don't know is, you know, before I even joined up with TNA, I was wrestling, you know, 5 years by myself, doing a bunch of stuff on the independents and then WCW and stuff. And then when I came to TNA is when they stuck me in America's Most Wanted. I kind of been a tag team wrestler almost the whole time here in Impact, and just singles runs here and there or whatever. But, you know, for a tag team, like I said, you cut your bumps in half, but then when you go back to being singles, you have to work on your in-ring cardio a lot more, just because you're not, now you're in the ring the whole time instead of, you know, tagging in and out, you know, 50% of the time.
Hi, James. You spoke a little earlier at the start of this conference call. You okay, too?
Yeah, you again?
Yeah, it's me again. I don't mind. How you doing?
Good.
So I know you only like a cold one, especially Canadian, but being British, I love my beer over here. I do like the imports as well. Got a thing for the old Brooklyn lager. But do tell me this. Have you tried much popular English beers, lagers, and which one's your favorite?
You know, funny you should say that. Actually, I have, especially when I go over there, you know, with Bram or Magnus, you know, like, I really can't tell you which is which or which one's my favorite, because I always just leave the ordering up to them, and they'll bring back a pint of beer and a shot of Jack Daniels. You know, so, but, you know, I definitely tell a difference just because, you know, it's thicker over in the UK than it is here in the US, you know.
Hello, this is Storm. This is Big Ray for OneWrestling.com. Thank you for allowing us to join you here today. How are you today?
Doing good. Can you speak up a little bit? I can hardly hear you.
Yep, sorry about that. First and foremost, Mr. Bill After wanted to say hello and tell you that the King of Karaoke sends his salutations to your family, sir.
He is definitely the King of Karaoke.
That's what he told me to tell you. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's an inside joke between you guys, but he seemed to get quite a chuckle off of it.
Yes, we've tried karaoke a couple times, you know, but we'll never be on the next American Idol, that's for sure.
Goodness, I pay to see that. But either here nor there, you've had an amazing career with Impact Wrestling. You've had a brief stint in NXT. America's Most Wanted, Beer Money, Fortune, Revolution. I mean, you've had, been a part of so many different types of different factions within the company. Now, my question is regarding the, I would say the last faction you were part of, the Death Crew Council, the DCC. That faction never really grew into what a lot of the fans thought it might have been. What was the long-term plan for that faction moving forward, and did you have any say regarding the path that faction was supposed to go, and just what was the DCC really supposed to be?
Yeah, you know, we were actually supposed to come back as, you know, quote-unquote baby faces, because they never really explained how Bram got out of the trunk of the car with Decay when he got through in there, and I never kind of explained the backstory with Eddie coming into the group. So, like, I had a whole backstory with him into the group. And it was actually supposed to all lead up. There's supposed to be, like, a quote-unquote fourth member. And it's all supposed to lead up to Slammiversary this past year where, like, me, Eddie, and Bram, like, we all unmask and you know who we are and stuff when we do matches and stuff. But it do something where we would build something up with me and Lashley going into Slammiversary, and then Josh Matthews would come to interview me, and we'd kind of rough him up a little bit, but it's kind of, he had like a secret camera on him or something, and do something where he kind of sees like the fourth member sitting in the corner with the mask and stuff on, and you really don't know who that is, and then do something where in the match, EC3 comes in and hits me with the beer bottle. I go down, 1-2, kick out. Then Bram and Eddie come out, and they beat up on EC3. They kind of fight off, and then the fourth member comes out and takes the mask off, and it's Jarrett, and he hits Lashley with the guitar. And then I pin Lashley, and Jeff's like, look, when I started TNA, this guy was one of the first guys here, and now that we got GFW going, I want him to be my champion. So it was going kind of all in line and stuff like that. But it just got, you know, when different powers kind of took over, it just kind of got threw way off course.
Hey, this is Riju from Sportskeeda in India. My question is, are you still in touch with Bobby Roode? And what do you think of his success outside TNA? Thank you.
Yeah, I'll shoot him a text every now and then. It ain't like we talk every day or even every week, you know. I'll text him and say congratulations because, you know, that guy definitely has earned everything that he's got coming to him, you know. And he proved what he proved here, that he can get in the ring with anyone. And I always say if he can go on and make a living, which, you know, he's doing, you know, the best to him. And I wish him nothing but the luck.
Hey, James. Braden, Fight Network up in Toronto. I just have a question. I followed your career since the days of America's Most Wanted favorite. You guys were the heels. But I have a two-part question. First, any future goals or anything that you want to do or accomplish in your career going forward? And my second one is just a small one. If I were to be going to Nashville, what's the bar that I go?
the first one is, pretty simple. Like, you know, I'm having fun. So many people get wrapped up in titles and championships and all this, and I always say, you know, that's fine and dandy, but when I go to the bank, they don't ask me if I'm a champion. That's what I tell a lot of guys, you know. But I pretty much have done it all here at Impact. So I just got to kind of step back and see what I kind of want to do next. And if you ever come to Nashville, I would definitely say, you know, everybody wants to go to Tootsie's because that's supposed to be like the famous bar in Nashville. But definitely check out a place called the Wild Beaver. One of my friends runs it, and it's a really cool bar, and also a place called Big Shots. So Big Shots and Wild Beaver.
Hi, James. This is Jeremy from Real Sport. I just wanted to ask you about working with Montgomery Gentry in the past, obviously with Troy passing away recently, if you had any memories and what your thoughts are about it all.
Yeah, you know, Troy was definitely a really good friend of mine, and We had so much fun shooting that music video. My aunt was his personal assistant, and that's kind of how we kind of met, and we just hit it off and became friends. Troy's one of those guys that, like, nobody really had anything bad to say about him just because he was just a great guy and a great friend to everyone. And I just remember when we were shooting the music video for Long Necks and Rednecks down at this bar kind of close to my house, they were supposed to play the Grand Ole Opry later that night, but we had drank so much whiskey during the filming that they had to postpone the show at the Grand Ole Opry for like an hour and a half just to kind of sober up a little bit. But that, you know, that's just one of the memories I had. Like, there's so many times when, you know, if I just needed someone to talk to or whatever, if I was just having any kind of problem, like, I can call Troy no matter what time of day or night it was, and he'd always answer no matter what. So he'll definitely be missed by me.
Hey, James. This is Adik Fir from Sport One in Israel. I have two short questions for you. One of them is do you think we'll ever see you with Impact Wrestling in Israel, perform in Israel? And the second one is, what do you think about the partnership with AAA and Noah Pro Wrestling? There are a lot of great wrestlers coming to your roster of Impact, and it's kind of different styles all over the place. How do you fit to the other styles of the wrestlers?
Yeah, you know, hopefully Impact Wrestling definitely start touring more, and hopefully Israel is one of the places they'll go. I know it was a big hit when we went to India, and anytime we go overseas, it seems to be a pretty big deal. But, you know, as far as the partnerships with, like, AAA and Noah and stuff, I think it's great for everyone involved just because it gives more eyes on the talent that's on the shows, and you kind of see matchups that you would never see. And it just talent swaps, you know, with us going to Noah and AAA going to Noah and vice versa, Noah going to AAA and here. So it just helps out the guys even more and kind of step up their game, because now they have to kind of learn and adapt to different styles of wrestling. You know, I always say that's fine and dandy with me with the styles they have. They can flip and flop all they want because, you know, they got to land at some time, and I'll be there with a super kick for them.
Hi, James. This is Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com. I just wanted to know. Good, man. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on TNA. Used to get criticized so much in the past for taking so much WWE talent. And now, you know, you got WWE taking so much TNA talent. Do you think there's a little bit of hypocrisy there?
Yeah, you know, I always tell fans all the time, like, they don't get it. Like, you know, it's the talent who looks at this as a business. You know, like, so many fans just look at it as, oh, well, he's a sellout because he jumped ship and went there, or he jumped ship and went there, and it's not like that. Like, you know, we have to provide for our family, so wherever we can go to get work, that's what we're going to do. And it just seems that it kind of gets overlooked when the WWE picks up TNA guys or whatever. But as soon as, like you said, as soon as TNA Impact picks up a WWE guy, it's like, oh, they're picking up a WWE guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's not really fair for the guy because he's just looking for a place to, you know, provide for his family. And they wouldn't hire them if they didn't think that they had something that could help them, plain and simple. A lot of people don't see that. They just see, oh, well, he got fired, so they're going to pick him up. No, there's a reason they picked him up or they hired him. It's because he has something that they think can be value to the company.
Hi, James.
How's it going, man? How's it going, man?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. You?
I can't complain.
You're
30 somewhere.
So, yeah, it's me again, unfortunately. Right, so I'll come straight out with it, James. If you wanted to, you know, reclaim the tag team gold in the near future or the distant future, whatever it may be, who would you choose as a tag team partner? And please elaborate on why you would choose them.
You know, that's one of those million-dollar questions that, you know, I really don't feel like doing any more tag team wrestling right now. Like, I just want to kind of do stuff on my own and prove that, you know, I can do stuff on my own, just because so long I've been doing tag team or, you know, a faction here or there, and, you know, I've been there and done it. You know, I kind of prove myself in tag team, and now I want to prove myself as a singles wrestler, because I know that I can do it. But, you know, if there was a guy that, you know, in the company now that I had to be tag team with, you know, I would probably have to say either Eddie Edwards or EC3, just because I know what they're capable of in the ring, and they have the same kind of mindset as I do. Is, you know, we're not going out there to try to overshadow each other and be the bigger star. We're going out there to do a job and get a team over.
Hey, James, it's Grant Matthews, Pinremote.com. First and foremost, I wanted to thank you, as I had ordered a hat from your merchandise store a few weeks ago, and I'd taken a few weeks to get there because there was a mix-up in the mail, and you ended up including a wristband with it. So I wanted to thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Sorry it took so long, man. Like, I mail it all out myself, so sometimes my schedule gets messed up. And, you know, and like, I think yours was one with the address was wrong. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say I appreciate it. It's a great hat. But anyway, my question for you, your Bound for Glory 2012 match with Bobby Roode is one of my personal favorites. But you've had a number of great matches at the event over the years with the Great Muda and the main event of the 2014 show in Japan, EV 2.0, Team 3D, among others. Does any one match at Bound for Glory stand out as your personal favorite?
You said it, the 2012 with Bobby Roode, just because, you know, that was the kind of the blow-off of our feud. And it was actually supposed to have been for the world title, but, you know, stuff just kind of got mixed around. And, you know, I'm not worried about it. But, you know, me and Bobby just wanted to go out there and, you know, just beat the hell out of each other. And I always tell everybody, like, my best feuds have been with my ex-partners, you know, even with Gunner. Like, we just go out there and we just beat each other up. And I always tell everybody, like, I think the better friends you are, the more you beat each other up. So I would definitely have to say, maybe, like, you know, like I said, 2012 with Bobby Roode and with Bound for Glory.
Awesome, thanks.
Hi, James. It's Bikram from ImpactAsylum.com. I was wondering, you went earlier this year to Pro Wrestling NOAH. I was wondering what your experience was wrestling the next ace of the company in Kaito Kiyomiya.
Yeah, the guy's really good. You know, he's still really young, but he's definitely going to be a big star over in Japan. And I have nothing but good things to say about him, you know, from his ring presence to his timing. And, like, I didn't even know that he hasn't really been in the ring that long. And, you know, afterwards, it is when I found out. And he just kind of amazed me when I was in there with him.
Hey, Mr. Storm, can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah.
All right, very good. This is Big Ray for OneWrestling.com. You know, the conversation in the beginning, Bill Apter intrigued me. Now, is there a love of karaoke? I mean, is this music? Your theme song is such a – I love your theme song. I'm a big music guy. I love music, all types of music, hip-hop, country, doesn't matter. So what are your influences growing up regarding music? And can you elaborate a little bit of what is a teenage James Storm like? Growing up,
man, you know, I don't know. That's one of those what happens in my youth stays in my youth kind of feels like basis, you know. But you know, as I was, you know, I was pretty crazy and wild, but I wasn't one of those kids that always got in trouble. You know, I didn't really break the law or whatever, but, you know, I did do some things that I wasn't supposed to be doing as a teenager and stuff. But, you know, definitely, like I said, I grew up, you know, listening to Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and, you know, Elvis Presley and guys like that. And that's just kind of – I like that old – the old style of country, kind of outlawish kind of country. And, like, my new – the new version of Long Necks and Rednecks, I actually wrote that myself and kind of just, you know, updated the whole song and everything. And then the DCC song, I wrote that. So And I'm kind of writing some new stuff for some other people, so hopefully it'll come out really cool, too.
So can we go on the record? Who is the true king of karaoke? Is it you or Bill After? I want to know right now.
Oh, it's me. Bill After, I try to tell you that he's a good Barry Manilow, but, like, he's a good Barry Manilow if he was, like, if the volume was really low. Like, no, he's actually good, though. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, for some reason, girls sit there and watch him. I don't know why, but they do.
It's the comb over. Thank you so much.
That's it. The comb over.
Hey, this is Riju from SportsKida again. My question is with regard to the last call. Now, there are several performers in wrestling today who use the super kick multiple times in a match, most notably the Young Bucks. Do you think that devalues the super kick? What's your opinion on the whole thing?
What's my opinion on, like, people using the super kick so much or whatever?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I say, you know, if they want to do it, that's up to them. I mean, that's, you know, they've made money off of it. You know, other people do it, that's fine. You know, but, you know, when I'm in a match with someone, it only gets used once. I always say they can knock people down with theirs, but I knock people out. You know, you didn't see, to me, you didn't see Shawn Michaels, you know, throwing 4, 5, 6 super kicks in a match. You know, and it's just one of those things. And, you know, Shawn protected it, and, you know, I've been using it for, you know, 15 years, and, you know, anytime I'm in the ring or whatever, like, you know, I try to protect it as well.
Hey, James, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. First of all, I want to say thanks. You came up to Illinois in May to do a show to benefit tornado victims, and you were amazing. You took it at the last minute, and it really helped out a lot, so thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. I'm always one of those guys who, you know, if I get a chance to give back to anything, like, you know, I don't mind doing it at all. So,
just real quick, what you've accomplished so much in your career. What are some of the things you still want to do? Are there still countries you want to wrestle in, or are there opponents you want to work with?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I still want to accomplish in wrestling. I don't know if I can really talk about it right now, hint, but there's still a lot of places that, you know, I'd love to wrestle. Australia being one of them. I'd love to go down to Brazil and wrestle down there. I've always heard, you know, great stories, you know, when Matt and Jeff used to go down there and wrestle all the time. And, you know, Tommy Dreamer has told stories about Australia and how cool it is to, you know, wrestle out there. So those are two definitely spots that, you know, I want to wrestle before I finish up. But, you know, I still got a long ways to go before I finish up.
Hey, James, this is Riju again. My question is with regard to your run with DCC. You worked extensively against the Broken Hardys. What did you think of the gimmick, and what did you think of the program with the Hardys? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I can get in the ring with Matt and Jeff, it's fun, just because, you know, they're so over, so it doesn't really matter what kind of happens in the match. Like, the crowd's going to be excited and have fun. It just goes to show you, like, really how over the Hardys are and have been for the last, you know, 15 years. I think we could have got more out of our DCC and Hardy angle, but, you know, that is what it is, and no use to crying in the past. But yeah, I mean, anytime I can get in the ring with those guys, it's a blast, because they're two of the favorite guys I love to wrestle with, whether, you know, I was a good guy wrestling Evil Matt, or whether I'm a bad guy wrestling, you know, the Enigma Jeff Hardy. It's always fun.
Hello there. It's Francis from In-Ring Pop in the UK. My question is this, right? You've held 16 championships in Impact Wrestling, and you know quite a lot of things. What's your thoughts about the Impact of World Championship now being held by Eli Drake, and would it be something you might consider and get a 17th time title?
Yeah, you know, I have to say props to Eli Drake. You know, he's accomplished a lot in the short time he's been here, but you know, he runs around like he's too good for anyone. You know, he just gotta, and you know, I proved it before when you know we fought over the global title. You know, it's just one of those things that he gets in the ring with the wrong person, and they're just gonna shut him up because you know. But I will have to give credit to him. He's an amazing athlete, great performer in the ring, but he's just one of those guys that I think just rubs guys the wrong way that don't know how to take him. And but like I said, kudos to him for accomplishing a lot in a short time.
Hi, James. It's Adam from the Impact Manager Game. You're very kind enough to talk about what were the plans for the DCC earlier on. Obviously, earlier in the year at Slammiversary, which I was at, you had the concussion angle, which doesn't really seem to have played out that much on TV. Is that going to be revisited, or was there something more to it at the time that just didn't make it to air? Maybe just a bit more on that.
Hey, tell you the truth, you know more than I do. Seriously. You know, I don't know why it wasn't brought up more and made more into an angle. But you know, I'm not creative, and I just show up and do what I'm told. But I just, you know, as a wrestler, that's one of the things I scratch my head at and be like, well, what? You know, I was off TV for 9-10 weeks. You think there'd be some kind of big story behind this that we would use going forward or whatever? But as far as I know now, there's no plans to use it going forward.
Hi, James. One more question for you, my friend.
Yeah, man.
Excellent. So, you know, what I was going to say earlier was, you know, to be fair, you're looking in the best shape I've personally ever seen you, and we've all ever seen you. You know, so that indicates to us that you're not going anywhere anytime soon. So please, you know, just give us a little brief description on, you know, what we can expect from James Storm and what the future holds for you, sir.
Man, you know, I just... there's a lot that I can't really talk about, but, you know, I always say you never know what the future holds. Might be a new door opening. I don't know. All I can do is just work my butt off and just get in the best shape I can and, just show up for work and do what I'm told. And that's really a wrestler's mentality is, his job is to just be ready and whenever his number's called and get in the ring and do his job. So right now I'm just having fun, being the old cowboy James Storm and just going out there and helping young guys out and telling them what they need to do and how to work on TV and stuff. So right now I'm just kind of enjoying the ride.
Hey, James, Brent Atwood from MMO.com again. Your first world title victory took place a couple days removed from Bound for Glory back in 2011. From your understanding, was having Bobby Roode lose his shot at the title at BFG that year, only to have you win out in a subsequent show, the plan the entire time, or was that a last-minute decision?
No, how it was all explained to me, it was kind of like a last-minute decision. I thought Bobby was supposed to be going over, Kurt, at the show, and I was watching the match, and then that happened. I was just like, what happened? And I just got changed at the last second. And then, then the next day at TV is when they told me that, you know, we're going to do a deal where we just put the belt on you or whatever. And I was like, all right, well, let's do it. Okay, cool. But yeah, it was just kind of hit, I think, both me and him just out of the blue, like, you know, because it was just changed so fast at a split second. But, you know, being the professionals we are, like, it don't really bother us. We just roll with the punches and just keep going.
Hi, it's Jeremy from Real Sport again. I wanted to ask about your brief stint in NXT and what influenced the decision to leave there and go back to Impact.
I sat down and I had a talk with Hunter, and a lot of people say, oh, it was money and all this, and it wasn't. It was basically a family thing that I had to decide, you know, because I knew I'd be on the road a lot more with NXT because, you know, Hunter was telling me they're going to run between 100 and 125 shows the next 2 years or whatever. So it was just one of the things, and my wife, you know, wanted to have another kid, and but we had to, she had to do shots and all this, and I had to be at home a lot more, and it was just a decision, you know, do I, you know, go and live this crazy dream of wrestling in the WWE, or do I stay home and help my wife, you know, have another child that she wants? And so at the end of the day, I just, you know, decided that you know, my family is really important to me, so my wife wanted to have another kid, and thank God everything turned out the way it did, and we've got a healthy baby boy that's, you know, 8 months old, so we're good to go.
Hi, James. Last one for me for tonight. Just curious as to, obviously, wrestling across the board, all companies, you know, the viewership seems to be turning off a little bit. If it was your dime running Impact at the moment, what do you think could bring casual fans back to the product? How would you build the show?
Well, first of all, I would start having tier. Like, you know, like to me, we don't have the John Cena or even the Roman Reigns or something like that. Like at Impact, it seems like they try to make everybody on the same level. And, you know, being in the wrestling business 20 years, I've never had it be like that. Like, you know, even on independent shows, you have kind of the undercard, and then you have the main event that the undercard is trying to work toward. You know, but to me, it seems like at Impact, they try to make everybody on the same level, and everybody's fighting for every title. Whereas to me, I think it should be you have your main event guys, and you have your undercard and your undercard title. And then all the undercard guys are working to try to get to that spot. You know, growing up, I always watched Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect wrestle for the Intercontinental belt all the time, you know, while you had Hulk Hogan and those guys doing the heavyweight stuff. And then once Hogan and them moved out, then you had Bret and them move up, and then the other guys came in and started wrestling for the IC title. You know, and to me, I think it kind of needs to go kind of back toward that a little bit.
Hello there, it's Francis again from In-Ring Pop. My question is this. With Impact Wrestling being moved out of the Impact Zone and then like being in Canada, where would you like to see Impact Wrestling go next, maybe the UK or international?
Yeah, I'd definitely love to see it go back to the UK because I just remember those tours we ran in the UK. Even when I go back to do indie shows, like it's a great reception, you know, every time I come out. And I just know that, you know, they should definitely do, like, you know, tours again. Like, you know, they don't have to run all these 15,000-20,000 seat arenas. You know, you can run, you know, these 3,000 to 5,000 places and just, you know, fill them up easy because, you know, especially over in England, like they'll come out and they'll support Impact Wrestling. But it's just one of those things that, you know, it's going to take a little time, you know, for me, what I believe, just to kind of get all the finances and stuff back in line. Is what Anthem's trying to do, and, you know, it's not going to be an overnight, you know, process. It's going to take a little while. So they're just taking baby steps to finally get to that point, I do believe.
Hi, James. This is Rod with Wrestling Inc. again. There's been a lot of talk about the branding of the company, and I guess what it's referred to have you heard anything regarding that, and do you have a personal preference about what you'd like the company to be called?
Yeah, it's just, you know, all I know is what I read on the Internet. You know, but no, it's I'm so used to calling it TNA just because I've been here for, you know, 15 years. I know a lot of other guys still refer to it as TNA. But, you know, I think it's just the lettering, like, you know, especially being here in the States, when you tell someone, hey, I wrestle for TNA, they kind of look at you like you're a weirdo or something. But, you know, because they think something totally different. But, you know, I think it should just be called Impact Wrestling, you know, just plain and simple. You know, that's what the name of the show is. That's what a lot of, you know, wrestling fans are accustomed to, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's not my call.
We have time for just a couple more questions.
Hey, James, this is Graham Matthews from Hitmo.com again. A few stars can say that you've been around for as long as you have, for over 15 years, as you said, and remain relevant and continue to reinvent yourself from Beer Money, America's Most Wanted, the cowboy persona, the DTC, and so on and so forth. What has gone into your various transformations?
Just life. You know, just trying to keep up with the times and just having all these different life experiences and just kind of learning from them and then putting these life experiences into my character and, just going out and just seeing if it works, you know, not being afraid to try new things. You know, a lot of guys are afraid to try new things, especially on TV. And I said, you don't know until they work, you know, and until you try them. And it's just one of those things that, and I think it'll help getting out of the impact zone is a lot of guys can try different things and see how they work in front of crowds, especially if we do, you know, house shows and live events or whatever. And I think that's what kind of hurts a lot of guys too, is because, you know, back when we were running strong with the house shows, you know, especially Beer Money, like we'd go out there and we'd do stupid stuff to see if it worked. You know, that's how we started out with the Beer Money Suplex. Started doing it on house shows and it started catching on. So we started doing it on TV and then, you know, different house shows, we practice other things, and if it worked, we use it on TV. If it didn't, then we scrap it and come up with something new.
Hey, Mr. Storm, Big Ray for OneWrestling.com. One last time. I want to ask you a little bit of a fun question. Let's say you had the opportunity. You had your own time machine. You can wrestle any era, any time, any organization. Where would you wrestle, what organization, and who would be your feud? Who would be the biggest feud you would have within that organization?
It's funny that you say that, because my all-time favorite wrestlers that I would definitely wrestle would be Mr. Perfect. It was one of those cool things that when he was here early in the time that I got to hang out with him, and he taught me so much. Like he pulled me aside after one of my matches and just tell me different things. Like one of the things he told me was, "Hey, what'd you do that for?" And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Pick the guy up." And I would just tell him, I'm like, "Well, because we're going to run this other spot." He goes, "Don't ever pick anybody up." He goes, "The name of the game is to either make somebody submit or pin them on the ground. If you pick somebody up, then you automatically tell them that it's fake." And that's just one of the things I never thought of until he said it to me. And I tell that to a lot of young guys, like, never pick someone up. Always kind of let them feed up or something. If I had to go to any organization, it would definitely be like USWA that was out of Memphis, that did Memphis, Nashville, Louisville and stuff. Because, you know, I can remember going to the fairgrounds when I was young and seeing Steve Austin and The Undertaker, Sting, and, you know, all these guys go through Nashville and Louisville and Memphis. You know, and one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, going to the fairgrounds and stuff, watching was Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, and I can just remember just watching him thinking he was, you know, bigger than life back in the day.
Thank you, Cowboy.
Yeah, man.
Hello, James. David Dunn with the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer again. Over the last couple of months, there's been a lot of discussion around the Global Wrestling Network, or whatever the eventual name maybe. How important do you think is it for Impact Wrestling to have a service like the WWE Network, like New Japan World, UFC Fight Pass, things like this, a way for fans to be able to dive into the archives and watch all the footage that TNA Impact Wrestling has put out over the years?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a really positive thing. You know, I heard that it might launch as early as the 10th. Hopefully it all goes off good and it's just one of those things that is another step in the right direction for the company, especially, you know, you can have even the new fans go back and kind of watch the older stuff, you know, like when AJ and Joe and all those guys were here and Punk and, you know, and if someone says America's Most Wanted, they can go back and see what America's Most Wanted was, or even Beer Money, or, you know, just stuff like that. So I think it's really important and really cool for Impact to have that out.
Hello there again, it's Francis from Evering Pop. My question is like this. You've wrestled in Mexico, and I want to know what your thoughts about the superstars of Lucha Libre, AAA.
You know, they're very respectful. I love wrestling in Mexico, you know, even though I don't do a lot of the lucha stuff, you know, but I know how to work with the guys, and I can work around their style. And that's one of the credits that, you know, I take pride on, is I can kind of work with anyone's style. It's just, you know, going down there, their fans are, to me, kind of like what the UK fans are. You know, they're just rabid, and just they're there having fun and yelling and making noise. And that's what wrestlers love. Like, you know, if I was a fan sitting in the crowd, you know, I'm not going to pay so much money for a front row ticket and just sit there on my hands. Like, I'm going to have fun. And, you know, as a performer and as a wrestler, we love to, like, look out and just see people having fun, whether they're cheering or booing. It's just such a great feeling to see them making noise and hear them making a noise.
Hey, James. This is Andy from Israel, from Sports One. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you. I'm a huge fan. As an Impact Wrestling original, being for 15 years in the company, Impact Wrestling had its ups and downs over the couple of years. What do you think about the position of Impact Wrestling these days in the pro wrestling world?
You know, it's a rebuilding process. I've seen it before, and it's something that it doesn't happen overnight. Like I said before, it's going to take a little while, but I really think with Anthem and is taking baby steps, and but definitely going in the right direction, especially forming partnerships with you know, NOAH and AAA, and so it's always good to have partnerships like that, especially, you know, when they get ready to launch the network. Like, you get to see all these other stars on there as well. So, you know, it's just baby steps, you know, and hopefully sooner or later everything's going to turn around.
Hey, James, this is Riju from SportsKira again. Is there any young performer you look at and you think this is the next James Tongue? Thank you.
Hell no. not at all. What's wrong with you, man? There'll never be another James Storm.
Hey, James, this is Dick Spear from Israel Sport One again. As a tag team specialist, you had a lot of championships, a lot of success in your career. What do you think about the tag team division in wrestling today, opposite to the golden era and the 90s, where the wrestlers had their whole career in the division?
Yeah, you know, and there was a time here at Impact when, you know, the tag team division was head over shoulders over the, you know, the single titles, you know, when you had, you know, Beer Money and the Motor City Machine Guns and Team 3D and LAX, you know, we were really, you know, having fun back in those times with the tag team division. And, you know, I think right now Impact, there's not really a big emphasis on it. I think that there needs to be, because there's a, you know, you got to start building tag team wrestling. It seems like it just kind of gets thrown to the side. But I think, you know, definitely within the next year or so, there'll be a big emergence in the tag team division here at Impact Wrestling again.
Hey, James. Riju from SportsKira again. So I am calling from India. I watched you wrestle in India. How was it wrestling here, and how different was the experience from wrestling in the United States?
You know, it was fun. You know, I tell everybody, like, whoa, you went to India to wrestle? Like, why don't you go there? Because it was fun. it was a lot of fun. You know, my whole experience in India was great. And just the fans, you know, you can see them on the TV. Like, they were there to having fun, and you know, and the guys in the ring just, you know, ate it up. Like, we didn't know what to expect, you know, walking out, and we didn't know if they know who we are or whatever. And, you know, they did. And I always say, you know, only in India will you see, you know, 700,000-800,000 people in the crowd, you know, Indians chanting for a cowboy.
All righty, we will go one final question, Ryan. Once again, final question is yours.
Hey, Ryan Bowman from the Gorilla Position again. As one of the original guys in the company, you've seen all the changes, the ups and downs all over the years, James. Heading into 2018, where do you see yourself and Impact Wrestling from there and beyond. And thanks for your time today.
Yeah, man, no problem at all. You know, it's one of those things, like, you know, whether I'm here or not, always, you know, wish the best on the company and especially the boys that work here, because, you know, I always get a little ill when I hear fans or see fans tweet or whatever saying that Impact needs to die and all this stuff, because, you know, to me that's a bunch of BS. It gives the guys another place to be able to work and feed their family. Because let's face it, like, if it goes out of business, like, WWE is not going to pick up all these guys. So there might be some guys that don't get picked up, and now you don't get to see them anymore. You know, I see bright things for Impact, especially if they're staying the course that they're staying, just because, you know, they're making baby steps and making progress, and that's what matters, is, you know, slowly start making money back and just don't lose a lot at one time. And I definitely see them, like I said, taking the right step in the right direction.
All righty. Well, Cowboy, I appreciate your time. Why don't you have a final thought as we wrap up for this week?
Yeah, man, be sure to tell everybody on your freaking website and podcast or whatever else you're doing, go to my website and support the Cowboy James Storm by buying a damn T-shirt or something.
All righty. Well, Media, I appreciate it. We will have another star next week for the